This is Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast, episode 107. I'm your host, Matt Lyons, and on this week's episode, we're going to look at realistic reasons to be optimistic in 2016, some not-so-realistic reasons to be optimistic in 2016, and look at what the Indians might be doing with their roster construction, a video company founded by Trevor Bauer and a freelance photographer, which is kind of really neat talking about players, and of course, we'll answer your questions. Joining me for all that and more is, of course, Mr. Merritt Rolfing. Merritt, how you doing?
I'm just sitting here trying to think about what the national newspaper in Russia is.
Is that important to your day-to-day goings-on?
My entire life is rank inanities, so I think it's pretty important to me, Matt. Yes. If I can't remember this random piece of trivia, what's the point?
We definitely don't have to discuss the fact that I didn't know where Washington Post was based just a few minutes ago. That's fine.
No, we won't touch on the fact that you thought that was a Seattle Washington newspaper.
Listen, Amazon is in Seattle, so they bought the one in Seattle, so it made sense.
Listen, Seattle's newspaper is called The Intelligencer, all right?
All right, nobody wants that, clearly, so.
Whereas the New Orleans one is the Times-Picayune.
That is awesome. Everything around New Orleans just sounds cool.
In the W.C. Fields movie, not The Bank Dick, the other one, the newspaper was called...
I'm sorry, The Bank Dick? Is that a thing you just said?
The Bank Dick, yeah. Bank Dick, okay. Back in the 30s was a cop who worked at the bank.
The he was a dick, or...
I don't know.
Or is that an official position at this bank?
Yeah, no, it was a precise role. Imagine head of security today. But anyway, the newspaper was called The Picayune Intelligencer. It was always kind of funny. You know, if you like 1930s movies where it's basically... Well, what was that TV show with the sitcom? All in the Family, right? Where the dad was kind of an old racist. Kind of looked like him.
Kind of, yeah.
Anyway.
He was the dick of that show. See, it works out. But anyway.
I Googled the bank dick.
There was baseball. Not really. That happened, but we got things to talk about now. So before we get like the actual things, that kind of reminded me of something I wanted to mention. Is that all these people saying that like the offseason's better this way because we have more things to talk about. Because nobody signed. Like, screw that. No, it's not. We ran out of ways to talk about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado in like the first week. This is the point usually where we could just look ahead and not worry about all that. But we have like 100 free agents not unsigned. So you can't really look ahead to the season yet. And it sucks.
Yeah, we can't look at the players. We can't project the what they may become, how the team is. Now, that's what February is for God's sake, is putting the imaginations together from all the disparate bits of free agency. And whatnot, and trades and whatnot. The hot stove, whatnot.
Right, the hot stove is only fun when it's like things happen and you get to talk about it after, not constantly being on.
Yeah, the whole point of the hot stove is you sit around the hot stove and you discuss things in the cold, cold winters in Iowa. Jeez, it's like these people don't understand where these terms come from originally.
I mean, to carry it further at this point, we've just been sitting with our hand on the stove and just... waiting for something to happen and our hand is on fire at this point.
Trying to see if we still feel pain, exactly. And turns out, no, I don't. So it's great. Do I feel alive? I'm not sure anymore. It's fantastic.
Well, if the Indians can do anything to hopefully make us feel alive in 2019, there's a couple things that Michael Bode at Waiting for Next Year wrote a really interesting article. It was basically just telling people to stop being so pessimistic in nicer words. But it was a really nice way of laying it out of how the Indians are probably still going to be really good. Lost in all of the Indians, one of all the teams that aren't spending a bunch of money they don't need to spend. They don't have a great outfield. Yes, they don't have a great bullpen, which you would possibly write that they have either one of those. But they're still going to project to be one of the best Indians teams in like the last 60 years. They have almost five really great pitchers. And one of the best things I saw that he noted was that Edwin Encarnacion, Lonnie Chisenhall, and Yonder Alonso all combined for 2.5 WAR in 2018. Carlos Santana might clear that himself as he is conservatively projected to obtain a 2.1 WAR. So that's a big part of what the Indians did, I think. They got rid of three players. Although, to be fair, if Lonnie Chisenhall is a full season healthy, maybe this whole thing is blown out the window.
Yeah, he's,
but...
like he's like a 3.5-ish in my dream. Yeah, 5 in my dreams, 3.5-ish in reality.
But Encarnacion and Alonso alone, like that's, if you replace that with just Santana, that's a super good move, and that's what they did. And I mean, Jake Bowers isn't terrible. Especially if he can play the outfield somehow because he's athletic, but... But I don't know. I think there are a lot of legitimate reasons to be excited in 2019. I just don't want 2018 again. That's all I care about. I don't want to see that season again. But if they can be any kind of exciting and have four, almost five Cy Young starting pitchers, it's hard to be really upset about where this team is right now, I think.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, that is one thing I didn't even think about, the getting rid of Encarnacion and Alonso, who produced really miserably, to be quite honest with you. I mean, there was a constant hope that Alonso... I probably wrote three different articles that used a varying level of sample size, judging that Yonder Alonso was finally breaking out back to his 2017 pre-All-Star break form, which is increasingly looking like a total ruse. Hedwin is just, I mean, they dumped him at the right time, I think. I think he's going to hit a decided downswing. Not everyone is Nelson Cruz, and Hedwin is one of those people who is not Nelson Cruz, so...
He's lasted a lot longer than anybody would have thought, because he's like into his 30s, and the Indians are dumping him at the first sign of decline, which is really smart, I think.
Right, no, exactly. I mean, and again, you look at his numbers after, you know, after his pre-June swoon, he was, what, a 124 WRC plus kind of a guy. He was producing, but that's the kind of number he puts up for the entire year when he has the crappy first 2 months, and then he crushes the ball from June on. So it was definitely a smart move in that respect. It sucks to see it happen because, like, this is a big right-handed power bat, but raw numbers wise, it's really nothing to get too worked up over. Plus, I think a lot of people liked him, but it's not like he really ingratiated himself to the fan base on the level of, say, a Michael Brantley or anything like that. He wasn't in every sense of the word. He was a mercenary. He was a guy who came over to try and get them over the top. It didn't work. At all, if anything, everything.
And I think it got lost a lot last year that he really wasn't that good, even. Like, right, 2017 was pretty good, but last year he wasn't very good.
No, exactly. And between him and obviously Alonso, who was barely a league average bat, if at all, I mean, I believe he ended up with like a 99 WRC plus, which is fine for a second baseman. If they had gotten that at Kipnis, that's fantastic. That's kind of what I'm hoping for in 2018 or 2019. But getting that out of a guy who's supposed to actually hit the ball was disappointing, to say the least. And at least they got stuff back for him. So that's a positive, too. It's not they just kind of, I don't know, they got like a young pitcher or something like that. I don't remember that trade off.
I actually don't remember who they got back for Yonder Alonso. Because that was basically just a salary dump, right?
Pretty much.
Like, yeah, they got Santana and Bauer, isn't
they? They got some minor league pitcher or something like that. I don't know. I'll look into it. But suffice to say, I mean, Bode is right. Bode, I don't know. They are going to be very good in 2019. If you've read any of the articles that I've written about Jake Bowers, I mean, there's reason to be excited about him. They got Alex Call, did the Indians.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's in high A, spent a little time in double A outfielder. So, a guy we won't see for 4 years, two or 3 years. Oh, he's 23, so about 2 years probably. But
yeah, if they didn't have to send any money over, I mean, you got a year at Alonso, you didn't need him anymore, and you got a reliever for it, so cool.
Yeah, and hey, maybe this outfielder will work. He's not left-handed, so, that's a step in the right direction.
One of them has to stick, Merritt.
Eventually one will stick, Matthew. Eventually. It's going to work. They're going to find an outfielder.
That's actually what I wrote about last week, is that I think that's part of what they're doing. Like, the Indians are sort of forcing Tito's hand and not giving him a Michael Martinez to block everybody.
I know, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you just want to say that it's like the Indians being cheap, that's fine. But I also think it's they have all these outfielders they've acquired. They want to see them used, so they're not just signing like Melky Cabrera, which I think is cool. They're sort of forcing Tito to use his young guys and not give him the kind of guys he probably loves. But I think Jordan Luplow could at least do something, at least, and make it. I mean, he's projected to be almost worth a win, so.
Yeah, no, and I mean, that's based on, not a whole lot of past, past history, if you will. So, I don't know, I feel like they've been churning through these mid-level prospect outfielders for the last 4 years, and like you said, eventually one's going to hit. So, maybe it'll be Call, maybe it'll be, I don't know, Bowers, like we talked about before. Maybe eventually Naquin will learn how to not hit a swing at a high fastball. Maybe Greg Allen will turn into something good. I don't know. But like you said, I think you said something.
Yeah. And Leonis Martin, I mean, he's still there. That's
right. No,
I think I've seen him on Twitter a couple of times remind fans that he is not dead. He's the starting center fielder. So I think it's missed that the Indians do have a legit center fielder to play next year, at least.
Yeah, no, I mean, and, for all we poo-poo the phrase run prevention, because it's just code for we couldn't find any bats, at least they'll have a good outfield defensively, I think. And that's something they haven't really had for, I don't know, a while, I guess, when they were, whether the outfield was involving Rajai Davis or, whenever they could get Bradley Zimmer out there, that was always a positive, but I don't even know when he's going to come back at this point. So,
We'll see. I mean, Michael Brantley wasn't great either by a lot of
numbers. Oh, he's dreadful. No, he's a terrible outfielder. I mean, good arm, but beyond that, you know.
I mean, think about it. At some point, we might have Martin in center, Greg Allen and Bradley Zimmer on either side. That's it's like the whole outfield is covered.
Oh, yeah, that's your classic run prevention outfield, you know? I mean, and eventually, again, I don't know. I still have hope in Bradley Zimmer. So the creeping cynicism of old age is getting to me every now and again, even only 32. But I try to hold on to that positivity, you know, because, hey, it's still a new year. And he's are still fast, really man. Good. I know.
He's just Waluigi with speed. It's so good. I want him to be so good.
Who? Oh.
Bradley Zimmer. He is straight up Waluigi with speed. That's what he is.
He does have a long, long face.
If they ever like dress up for Halloween and he's not Waluigi, I'm giving up on him.
He's Waluigi. Who's Wario?
I'd almost think that would have been Yonder. Not that he's fat, but he's built like a centaur. So he's got like those huge bottom legs. He's the closest to being like a large Wario man, I think.
Okay, so then Mario is Carlos Santana.
Is he? I mean, I put Francisco Lindor as Mario just because he's the star, I guess.
Okay, I was thinking someone else kind of.
You're just going body type?
Body type and also similar position and also belovedness by fan base, kind of. Because some people love
he's the opposite, love Mario. Yeah, that's true. I do like that take on it.
Yeah, there you
go. All right, then who's Luigi? I mean, that could also be Bradley Zimmer. That's the problem.
No.
Zimmer is every tall. No, they're
completely different. I mean, while Luigi is not lanky, he's just kind of less chubby than Mario.
Luigi would have been Michael Brantley, I think.
Because remember, Luigi is kind of the opposite of, it's kind of like a mirror image of Mario, whereas Wario is the negative of Mario. So Waluigi is nothing. He's the mirror image of negativity. So he's it's all a very interesting concept. I've read many articles.
That is very deep, Merritt. He's like the mirror image of zero is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And so what is the square root of zero? Nothing. Even deeper nothing.
I'll have you know that Luigi had his own year. And screw you. I was always Luigi when I was little, so. Well, and I was always tall, so I was always Luigi. And he kicks ass in Smash Brothers. So you know what, Merritt? You just take your Luigi hate and your Zero and take it somewhere else, quite frankly.
First of all, Smash Brothers is a stupid game, and Mario Kart will always be a better game. And second of all, Luigi was a terrible person to pick in Mario Kart. So I always liked Waluigi. I was always a fan. He seems nice.
But he's one of the heavies. You don't use the heavies. You use Toad.
No, I do use the heavies with the big Cadillac cars. Why? I don't know. Because I'm an idiot. I drive in style. I try to win here. And when I do win, it's fun.
Yeah. So something back to sort of baseball related. Instead of Waluigi, as great as that is. Another thing we kind of want to talk about is, I don't know. I guess it's just, we're talking about the reasons to be optimistic for the Indians. I think we mentioned realistic ways to be optimistic for them. But there's also been like a couple weird articles on Indians.com that just seem very, I think you put it as like rah-rah-y or what's the other word I'm looking for? Like
overly
selling the corporate
positive
line
to the point. Yeah, exactly. Selling a company line. I think that's kind of the way I was trying to wrap my head around it.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's two. There's the first one that came was that the title was Tribe Pen Stacked for 2019. There's ways I would describe the bullpen. It's not stacked. It's not one of them. And then I think it was today. The other one was youth and depth is key in the Tribe outfield. Okay, youth maybe, but depth is, I don't know if I'd call it deep. I'm terribly off on the outfield. But
I understand the spin because they don't really have any great outfielders. They have a bunch of mediocre ones, a.k.a. depth, just like the bullpen. They have one good pitcher and then a bunch of question marks, also rans, and bad pitchers. So again, stacked not with good stuff, but it is stacked with players, you know.
There is stuff there.
You can have a big stack of rotten cordwood, you still have wood to burn. It's just gonna be stinky and smelly. So I don't know, I'm reading that article and the other one, and I don't know, and this is the thing I've noticed in a lot of MLB.com team sites and things like that. There does seem to be especially lately, it seems as though it's kind of ramped up the last couple of years, a propensity for towing the company line as opposed to producing something approaching good journalism. I mean, I really liked Jordan Bastian, considering that he was literally a company man his entire career, because he came from Toronto, and then he was in Cleveland, and now he's in Chicago. But the new person, Mandy Bell, I mean, you know, she's new, so she's probably just going to lay the land still. But, and I guess it is hard to write, "This team stinks," over and over. I know that. I've written that article many times. So maybe she is trying to find some positivity, which is good. Maybe the team does need that. But,
and I think if you dug a little bit, I'm sure you could find these same posts from Jordan Bastian. I don't feel like it's just any specific writer. I think at some point the teams eventually say, like, well, I guess teams can't say this to,
right, and,
to
the writers, and that's what I'm wondering. Is there, like, it's hard. It's
there's
hard
usually
to...
a disclaimer at the bottom that the team had nothing to do with the article.
Sure, no, and that's fine. You can say that all you want, but I don't know. It's just how often, or how am I to? It's hard to put an impartiality to it. And you know, this is not something I'm only feeling now. I always kind of wondered that about Bastian and Castrovince before him, or any of the guys who are even write nationally for MLB.com. I mean, they know where their bread is buttered, and the league as a whole does need to, you know, grow its footprint and things like that. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just overblowing something or something. But it's, after a while, you just, I don't know. These are,
I don't
articles
see the disclaimer you, anywhere anymore. So I don't know.
Oh, well,
remember at the bottom, it always used to say, like, the what?
It's that, and then also the other thing is too. If you go on to MLB.com proper, all the articles are just the clickbaitiest headlines ever. You know, it's things that just like, all right. So it says Indians acquire reliever Whitgren from Marlins, and then but the top one is Machado still holding out for Yanks offer? Which, of course, according to Betteridge's law, the answer is, of course, no. But, you know, these seven clubs have unfinished business. That is a nothing article about nothing, which is what baseball is right now. It's literally nothing happening. I don't know. I would like, you know, you always want impartiality and you want some level of, you know, objective journalism that actually delves into these things. And it's hard to find that these days elsewhere in media in general, because there's like four newspapers now. So, I don't know. You read those articles over and over, especially when you see the Indians doing nothing and you can see the writing on the wall of the outfield being terrible. Like, I don't know. I don't know what article you're supposed to write, but whatever that article is, I would like that one instead.
Yeah. I've always thought of, like, the Indians and, like, the specific team sites were the ones where you got the most, like, access, not necessarily the most impartial things.
Yes, and that's fair.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought what's his name was doing a great job or something, and maybe I was just misreading it or something. But
yeah, no, these two articles are definitely weird. I don't, but they're not. It's definitely not like an opinion post from the author either. They're clearly just like, it's just stating facts in a row. And she probably didn't even pick the titles. That's another thing to keep in mind. Like, I don't think she says anywhere specifically how like stacked the bullpen is, but yeah, it's literally just Yeah, you know what? Now I'm turning around on this. Because take out the title, and like, if you look through it, all she is just telling you who's in the bullpen, and like, somebody picked a title.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, maybe that's my real problem. Whoever's doing the headlines on MLB sites now is, must have been fired from BuzzFeed or something.
because it even says at the beginning that this is just going around each position and looking at the players. Like, this is just a roster preview, and somebody's picking very wrong titles, like very team friendly titles.
Well then I hate that even more, because it's lying to you and not telling the truth of what the article is,
right?
That's stupid, and I hate it. Why'd BuzzFeed have to fire all those goddamn journalists? Shit, kept them penned up. We'd all be much better off.
And in a broad sense, I don't always hate like clickbait titles, as long as what's in it somewhat matches. Like the is Machado holding out for more money from the Yankees? Like, I'm sure they have more information if you click it about if he is or isn't. I think I saw that he is, but even if it's not that much, as long as you're clickbaiting into something interesting, I think it's good. But this one is like straight up lying, the titles.
But even with that article, you just say, is he? The answer is, you write what it is in the headline. Machado holding out for more money from the Yankees, and then you describe what, you know, discussions with his agent. That's what it should be. Damn, man.
Yeah, see, this goes back to this offseason sucks. Like, there is no redeeming quality of having free agents sitting here this long. This isn't fun. We should be talking about next season at this point.
Plus, the Indians' Twitter account is trash. So,
God. They do like their memes now. They do they like to recolor things, and there was a SpongeBob post, which, by the way, during the Super Bowl, because Sweet Victory was barely used, so it was really funny. The Indians were one of them, but watching all these like accounts just post these SpongeBob things that were supposed to be when Sweet Victory played like it was supposed to, but they didn't want them to go to waste, so they just sent them out anyway. The Indians literally just tweeted a picture of Squidward in a baseball uniform. I was like, all right, somebody made that and they put work into it. I respect that, but there's no reason to use it, and they sent it anyway.
I didn't know what Sweet Victory was until very recently. So, yeah.
Really? You never watched SpongeBob?
I watched it very early, and then I haven't watched it in, you know, I don't know when that episode debuted, but it was probably.
That's a relatively early one, I think. Like the first was couple it? Seasons, because I watched it when I was a kid. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you, 14, right?
I'm 29. I'm 3 years younger than you are. That show has just been around forever.
All right, man. Concept of time. Don't worry. Anyway, point of the matter is, someone should fire these headline writers because these are distracting and confusing article names.
Yeah, I even feel like when Jordan was writing, they were always weird article names, but I don't know. Yeah, I didn't look at the deep end before, but after looking at it now, I've definitely come around these articles that it's literally just a roster preview. Which is fine. Like, we'll probably do them too. Like, you don't offer a ton of opinion. You just kind of state what every player is and what might happen. But then the title is like, Tribe right, Pen fine. Is stacked for 2019.
I'm writing an article next week that says, the bullpen is a dumpster. And the picture better be a dumpster.
And it's just listing the position players.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, not even any other words. Just the names.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, listeners, look out for that next week.
I thought there's gonna be more Jake Bauer's hype articles. That's what I really wanted, Merritt. I want more Bauer's.
I mean, I'll probably pop out another two or three of those before the new season begins because there's something else I could find. I did that really neat article about his plate discipline that I thought was very good, and I was very proud of that.
Yeah,
and then I wrote something else. I think I've done three about him now.
I mean, he's really intriguing. It's just an interesting. The most interesting thing to me is that they traded Yandy Diaz for him, or part of the trade with Yandy Diaz.
Right. And well, the other thing that intrigues me about him, too, is just I don't know if it's just them doing it so as to raise his trade value, but the Rays front office was reportedly very high on him his entire minor league career. So that's something. I don't know what it is, but it's something, definitely.
Yeah. And there's if one of my favorite things to do when there's a trade now is to like go and look at other fan sites, not even necessarily like SB Nation, but like other places mm-hmm. where fans come around. And it seems like every single trade this offseason, other fans have hated it. Because the Indians have been so good at like, because the Rays loved Jake Bowers, all the fans did. Yeah. Oscar Mercado, they were Cardinals fans calling him the future center fielder. Even Jordan Luplow and Max Maroff, Pittsburgh fans were like, who's Eric Gonzalez? Why do we trade these two for him?
That was.
So I don't know. It seems like
turns into literally anything. By the way, that is a heist. I mean, that is highway robbery. If they get a full time, they get an everyday, even a mediocre everyday player out of that. That is highway robbery.
One win, Jordan Luplow, and the trade is done. We're good now.
Yeah,
I'm pretty much good with that.
I mean, I did write articles about how I thought Eric Gonzalez was turning it around and turning into a good hitter because I'm a moron.
Oh no, I did too. He had like a week where he looked really good.
Oh yeah, no, he looked fantastic, and I don't know. You know, you need articles right about throughout the year, so you find things, and that was one of them.
But. Yeah. So one of the other things I wanted to mention, it's not really basically a non sequitur, but it's kind of a neat new business that it's called Momentum, that Trevor Bauer and a freelance videographer, Tyke Green, they co-founded, and it's basically just like a video platform for players to tell stories. So far, it's been really Indians focused, but I actually asked Tyke if that's intentional. He said no. It's just because. That's who Trevor knows, so they've been going to them first. But they also have like stuff on Javi Baez and Jose Berrios. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool. Like it's super cool, personal and in-depth stuff with the Indians players. I mean, Mike Clevenger in one video just had a glass of wine and was talking about stuff. And like it's the best promotion that the MLB has had in a long time, and MLB has nothing to do with it, which I think is kind of great.
They're the absolute they should really worst take a lesson promoting from this, their players. Oh yeah, no, they're so bad at print. I don't know anything about Mookie Betts. You know, he just won MVP. I don't know anything about Christian Yelich. He just won MVP. I know Mike Trout likes the weather. He's boring. Beyond that, you know, like I don't know anything about Paul Goldschmidt. I'm just looking at a list of the top of the top hitters in baseball this past year. I don't know shit about these guys. I know stuff about Alex Bregman because I followed him on Twitter for a while because he was fun because he used to really razz highly conservative fans of the Astros and really piss them off. It was a lot of fun. But, it's just no team is better at marketing their stars than the NBA. And one of the ways they do that is by making the personable and relatable and knowable. You know, like, I like Mike Clevenger. I don't know anything about him. And now I know he likes wine. And I know also that outside of that uniform, he is fucking jacked. And I don't know. That one video he did about, you know, trying to fit in his rookie year, like things like that, you know, like baseball has such a wall around it just as a whole. Like it's like, whether it's access by reporters or knowing anything about what's going on behind the scenes. Like there's just such a wall around the entire game that even after all this time of connectivity and it being reported upon, the fans know about nearly as much now as they did back in the 50s. And it's nice to see a peek into, you know, it was always nice to see a peek into the process of Trevor Bauer training in the offseason, doing his work more so than just like you see the highlight clips of Corey Kluber throwing a medicine ball against a padded wall or whatever, you know,
all those like dramatic, like slow down workout videos. Those are so dumb. They always have the wire things they're waving in the air. Like that doesn't tell me anything. I get it. They work.
It's a good. There you go. Look at you working on your flexibility. I'm not even sure, but like the minute study and everything like that, like it's nice to see what these guys go through because you know you see them out there just standing there staring at the sun half the time. To see these videos of them not only doing the work but also obviously being human beings, I think is like you said, it's vital to the league and it's way better than anything that baseball has done as a on its own to market any of these people. They're so fucking bad at marketing players.
Well, we've talked before about like one of the problems is that in the past it just seemed like they were just some dudes playing baseball and anybody could do it, and that's sort of gone away. But like Mike Clevenger talking about how he basically wanted to throw up and he was trying to fit in and it was so hard for him just to be a regular person around other people, that was like really relatable. That's like,
yeah, no, exactly.
All right, I could do that and be nervous out there, like just like Mike Clevenger. Like that's the kind of thing they need, not like more, like you said, those stupid workout videos.
Yeah, I hate starting a new job enough. Like that part sucks. Imagine starting a new job that's also incredibly insular, and these people who you're going to spend 99% of your life with for the next 6 months, and also you have more, you have millions of dollars of pressure on you every moment you're performing. So it's, and you have, well, in the Indians' case, 5,000 people staring at you while you do it.
Two full rows loaded with people watching. The shipping containers bearing down on you.
And not even just there, but then you end up in Chicago and 500 people are just staring at you forlornly. But in all seriousness, no, it is really neat. And it's also very funny that of all the people to do it, it's Trevor Bauer because he's just such a... I don't know. He seems like the opposite of the kind of person who'd be making a thing that's making people more relatable because he seems like a very hard guy to crack, I guess is what I'm saying. He seems like he really walls off people. Although, as we've heard the last year or so, he's been much more ingratiated to the team and being more personable around his teammates. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
where's Tyhee Green from? Does he work at Driveline also? I've heard.
No,
his name
he's not. He's just a videographer, I think. But Driveline is involved a lot because they've already had Kyle Boddy on and one of the documentaries is going to be on Driveline, which is cool.
Also, Kyle Boddy's built like a brick shit house. God damn, he's so big. Could wreck anyone's shit. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. I think it's neat. I had nothing else on that. I just wanted to bring it to people's attention that I think it's neat is going to come out. The Mike Clevenger really thing is part of a bigger documentary they're doing. I guess it's all part of bigger documentaries, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. The stuff about this, that when you're talking to Barrios too, just about, you know, the curveball and stuff like that, and I just is like, I like to watch his stuff on, you know, on the Pitching Ninja Twitter feed. And then he just comes to me and says, like, man, how do I learn how to throw like you? And it's like, it's so cool to see how these guys watch each other and just think each other, think they're all so sick with it. And I don't know, they're all such fans of each other and fans of the game itself. And you wonder about other sports like that. You know, like I know you read a lot about like football guys do it. Even though they don't like it, it's like a job. But I wonder how often how prevalent that is in baseball. Just because of how much minute study there is, as opposed to the raw physicality of football, which is not to, you know, dilute football. Football is incredibly hard in its own right. But yeah.
Yeah. But it's a lot of you could just focus on hitting people and just treat it as a job more than you need to spend so much time on every little tiny thing on baseball. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's got 162 goddamn games.
So every Monday, we ask everybody on Facebook and Twitter to ask us some questions, especially this time of the year, because good Lord, nothing's going on. We just want to answer questions. You can always ask us at Let's Go Tribe on Twitter. I think on Facebook too, that's our at. So, or you can just email me, mattr.lyons@gmail.com. So the first question is going to be from at mhutton722. He wants to know, is ownership aware of how much this offseason has depressed the fan base and potentially damaged ticket sales? Poor at Indians account can't post anything without getting inundated with snark about an outfielder bullpen help, and I don't blame fans. So the first part, I don't think you make decisions based on ticket sales, year-to-year ticket sales. I think the Indians tried to do that with Edwin Encarnacion. If you remember, he even had incentives for higher attendance happening as a result of signing him. Yeah. I didn't look and see if they met him, but I'm assuming not. But that's just not how it works, and you don't do it that way. You just sort of do what you can within your financial limitations, whether those are real or artificial, whatever. Those are what Chris Antonetti has to work with, and those are what you work within. It's not, I don't think it's, we sign this guy to bring in more tickets. That's a good side effect, but you're signing him to win baseball games. Like, that's going to bring you more tickets in the end than having an Edwin Encarnacion or whatever.
Oh yeah. And as I've heard, you know, I've heard and read countless times from many different people, the best way to draw fans is to win a lot. I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, the outlier is obviously the Cleveland Browns, but football is also an outlier in the world of anything. So the Astros drew garbage for years when they were bad, and now they pack the place because they're really good. Again, the Cubs are another outlier, but like, if you're really bad, you're not going to draw fans unless you are doing something really, really special in terms of the atmosphere, I guess. You know, like Fenway Park is a tourist attraction. Yankee Stadium somehow is still a tourist attraction, even though the stadium's only like 10 years old. Same thing with Fenway Park. I'm rather Wrigley Field. If the Mets were any good, they'd pack the place. But they're bad. Yeah, and yes, the Indians have been winning, but I guess the Astros are the perfect example. Winning in that sense, not winning just a bunch of games. But, and again, like in 2017, when they were on that winning streak and stuff, when they were just crushing it, they put a lot of butts in the seats that year. I think they did okay this year too. I mean, I know they weren't that high, but like, they were better than in the past. So I don't know. I mean, I know there is the meme of the Dolans being cheap and stuff like that, which they are. It sucks. They don't spend money. I want them to spend all their money. I want them to give me all their money.
But now, this might be kind of stupid, but is it worse that they went to the World Series first and then lost instead of having like a few, like if they had a few 2017s in a row, would people have kept coming and getting excited and then waiting for the World Series? Or now is it like, only if we don't win the World Series, it sucks because we were there once?
That's a very interesting point.
I wonder if they blew it by being too good and not winning.
Obviously, on its surface, it sounds really stupid, right? Like, objectively. But at the same time, there was this massive tease, and you're like, you know what? Next year when we're healthy, we'll do it. And then they get bounced. And then they get bounced again. So, yeah, if we could move 2016, if we could shift it all around 1 year or something like that, maybe they'd be the place would be packed this year. Especially, you know, the Cavs on a downturn and the Browns only now getting pretty good. Maybe. I mean, that's a interesting way to look at it. Something that probably, I don't know. It sounds almost counterintuitive, but
yeah, because you're never going to get that unexpected excitement of 2016 back until this with this core anyway. Like, the expectation is always going to be World Series, or it's not as good as 2016. So who cares?
Right, and also too, I was reading something about this is sort of apropos of this, I was just reading about the Warriors, Klay Thompson. He's going to be free agent, I think, at the end of the year. And he wants to sign with the Warriors, but he wants a max because he's like, first of all, I deserve it. And second of all, any savings they make on not signing me, they're still going to pay the luxury tax. So does it make sense in the long run for the Warriors to pay $200 million just in luxury tax this year and build some sort of create a mega dynasty like the Bulls? Like, the Bulls are still a legit marketable franchise, and they've been trash for a long time. They had that little blip there with Derrick Rose, but like, I don't know, does spending money create more money in the long run like that? You see what I'm trying to say?
Like, yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I guess the counterpoint could be the Cavs, because I don't know how they're doing on fan base and stuff like that, but they also have a terrible owner. So
I mean, the Cavs is like all LeBron James, right? There wasn't like a love for the team. Exactly. It was a love for LeBron James. Yeah,
that's true. Exactly true. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, spending the money obviously builds goodwill to a degree with the fan base, especially after they buried the goodwill. But this is a little upsetting to watch what is happening. The lack of investment in what is objectively a once in a lifetime sort of a team to come together all at once. You know, this is what a lot of teams fight for and want to happen and then fail. You know, I mean, how many times have we seen the Padres rebuild in the last 15 years, right?
Yeah. They've always been like a, when they rebuild, they go for it in 1 year and then give up like immediately.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, or like the Mariners, they haven't made the playoffs in 18 years or something like that. Yeah, so this, what's happening here is a confluence of events that is rare to say the least. And so to see the non-investment, I can understand what the question asker is saying. I mean, I'm upset. I'm sure other people in the fan base are. I don't know what season ticket numbers look like, but
yeah. Well, see, I'm still holding out being upset until the trade deadline, because I think I know it's lame to say it now, but the market inefficiency is getting these, because nobody wants like the half year players anymore, but that's all the Indians need. So like, right, get no, to the trade deadline and get this guy they need for the playoffs and get him super cheap and hope they win. So,
oh no, and I agree with you 100%. I mean, I guess I'm just a little upset more in the, I don't know, I don't know, it's hard to put together. Maybe it's a combination of being upset with inaction, but also the weird holes in their player development that are holding them back in comparison to like the Astros or something. You know, like we were talking about earlier, their utter inability to develop an outfielder after having three first round picks, you know, and none of them, one was traded away and two of them have been major disappointments, or I don't know, just stuff like that. I mean, they've developed good catchers, they've developed good infielders. It's just and then bad bullpen pitchers too. Just, I don't know. How many times have I ranted about that too? You know, their inability to create a good fireballing reliever. And I know one of them was supposed to be good, but then he got hurt and stuff like that. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure, again, they're going to be really, really good this year. And plus the whole division blows still anyway. So it's just stupid. That's all.
Go ahead. At Cody Miller, 91. He wants to know, do you think Trevor Bauer and Corey Kluber will both be with the Tribe at the end of the 2019 season? So I guess this goes back to, will they make a trade at the deadline? Because at this point, they're probably not going to trade him before the season starts. So what do you think, man? Are both of them going to be on the team at the end of the year?
I think it would be, if they're on the team at the beginning of the year, there's no point, unless the Indians collapse, you know, like on the level of 2008. And that just seems so hard to do with the level of pitching they have. There's no reason to think that they won't be there. If they're there on opening day, they'll be there whatever the last day of the year is that the Indians have, October 29th or whatever. Yeah, no, I just unless they do trade them, I don't know. Nothing's happening. So,
I mean, unless you're John Morosi, then you are very sure that Corey Kluber is being traded. Damn it, and you're going to keep saying it until it happens.
Well, there's all these mystery teams in on Harper. What if one of the Indians on a 1 year deal? Like, I don't know, whatever.
Well, that would, can you imagine
$40 million for a year?
That'd be insane.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
At Jim J. Page, he asked, was killing the Chief worth the All-Star game? Yes. I don't think that's why they killed him, but I mean, that's probably like the last straw for killing him, but I think it's good that they did, and it's worth the All-Star game. It's not worth having that awful patch on the shoulder, though. having the guitar. That thing is. I get that Chief Wahoo was bad for several other reasons, but that guitar is just hideous and awful, and we're going to have to look at it all season.
The whole thing's bad, man. The uniform as a whole is pretty nice, but just the lack of imagination. There's something that's infecting that entire organization when it comes to design. Like from the Twitter account to the logo, like there's just nothing. Do something.
Well, you can't play into the Indian thing anymore. That's the problem. I mean, they shouldn't. Yeah. They shouldn't do it. That's the thing. Like, so you can't build up your.
I don't know. Why not? Why can't you just have a feather? Why not? Why can't you? Are we voiding the Indians thing? Or are we just assuming that name as a whole is gone in the next 5 years or 10 years or whatever?
Well, see, that's the thing. If they're at the point where they can't use it to market, like, why not just kill the name? Like, if you can't play into your name at all and you have to like constantly dance around what your team name is, just change it and then rip the band-aid off and have better marketing going forward, and also fix your Twitter account because it sucks right now.
I mean, I really like the name Tribe, like not as an actual name, but I like having an alternate name to refer to a team as, you know. And I know a lot of teams have, you know, the Bombers or the Yanks or the Piles of Crap in Flushing. That's the best.
I mean, you used two for the Yankees there, so that was good.
I know, I'm trying to think of any other ones.
The Bombers, the Yanks, the Yankees, the New York team.
New York AL. O's, I guess. I don't know. What else the Orioles have?
That's a critical letter. Is there any other good ones that aren't just like letters? The Strohs? That's just shortening the name, though.
Strohs is a pretty good bad kind of beer, too, so that's nice.
The Halos. There we go, the Angels.
The Halo, yeah, there you go. Yeah, the Halos. That's a nice one.
Well, now I gotta look for it.
Yeah, everything else is just a letter. Twinkies, obviously, they don't like Twinkies, though.
Do they actually call themselves Twinkies? Yeah, I guess they do.
I don't know. I think it'd be fun if they called themselves the Pauly Boys for St. Paul. I'm
the Royals, garbage. That. Is that what they call themselves?
Nice. But yeah, this is the thing. I like.
Got them.
Like, of all the things I don't want them to go with, for the reasons I don't want them to go away from the Indians, the fact that I like to refer to them as the Tribe is just. It's nice. It's fun to write. It's fun to read. It's fun to say.
Padres and Friars. That's a cool one.
Oh, that's the best one, actually. Right.
Yeah. There we go.
Also, Dads, which is another
one. Yes, the Dads. I guess Brewers and Brew Crew. I mean, it's usually part of the name, and that's kind of cool. Sorry, I'm stuck on this finding alternate names now thing. It's really cool.
Cubbies.
No, yeah, I guess.
That's kind of weak. Them, the Cardinals are stupid.
What I guess that's it, here? Right?
Tiger Motor. I've seen the term Motor City Kitties.
Yeah, it's so stupid. What are you doing, Tiger? You're dumb.
Pirates have the Bucks.
Yeah, there you go. What is that? Oh, Buccaneers.
Bucko. Other than that, yeah, that's about it. Marlins have the Fish.
Or Fins, right? That's their thing. They're the Fins. Look out. Here come the Fins.
That's the Dolphins.
No, Marlins are referred to as Fins, right?
No, that's you're thinking of the Fish.
I am. Fish. Oh, Fins, Marlins? Hold on.
Nationals have the Nats.
No, that's just shortening.
That's a bad one.
No, I guess you're right.
Refer to them as the Senators if we wanted to? Probably not, because that name's probably owned by either the Rangers or the Rockets.
Do the Marlins really call themselves the Fish?
Yeah, definitely. Man,
that suck.
Oh, whatever. It's a good
one. Yeah, no, I agree. I think the Indians, being able to call them a tribe is neat. If there wasn't
a bird team, you'd put yourself as the Birds.
That's lame. So, I don't know. Every team does that. So let's pick another question here.
Anyway, I like saying Tribe. So, right. That's
so why they should keep it for that reason. At BLUI1131, he asked, do you think Sandy will take over managing the team when they sack Francona mid-May? That's kind of a loaded question a little bit. But on the subject of Sandy taking over eventually, do you think it says something that no team has hired him? He's interviewed quite a few places and he's still on the Indians. Does he just love the Indians that much? Or is there impressive?
I wonder if that's what it is. Like you said, I've thought about this myself. Is he just a bad interview? Like,
yeah, he seems like a quiet guy.
I don't think he'll take over. I think the obvious answer is Josh Tomlin. I thought he was going to be a manager for years now. I've actually had that article idea in my phone for like 3 years. It literally says Josh Tomlin as replacement for Francona. In parentheses, it says Callaway will be gone by then. So, I mean, I was very proud.
They're going to leave that title as is when you post it?
Yep.
No contact.
But I think it'll be him. I think he'd be an interesting choice.
But, Josh Tomlin as the manager? That's never crossed my mind before.
Yeah, he's gritty, you know? gritty. Other stuff. He knows how to win when he doesn't have his best stuff because he's never had his best stuff.
That is a good point. I mean, there are people that say, like, really good players don't make as good managers because they don't have to... They're not used to, like, struggling and telling people how to be better.
Right. I've always thought that, like, Peyton Manning would be a terrible quarterback's coach.
Right. Like, why aren't you making that throw? Just do it. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Did you see me do it all those times?
Read the defense. What do you mean? Read it. Look at what they're doing. It's obvious, you moron.
And then the opposite end of that spectrum is Josh Tomlin.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's not terrible. And I found this picture of him at a podium. He looks very managerish, so...
There you go. Except for his fucked up facial hair, so there you go.
I can see that.
There you go. You're welcome, everyone, for putting that in your head.
Because I can't think of anybody else currently. I don't think it's going to be Sandy. I don't think... He just seems so, like, quiet and... He seems like it'd be more of a Brad Mills type somewhere, not really like the manager, the manager to the manager, the assistant to the manager. And he seems like he'd be great at it, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm with you. He's a good consigliere. He stands there. He wears his little helmet. It's great.
So our last question we'll do here will be at A Stonehand. He asks, is Lindor going to become a Yankee, Dodger, or an Angel? Here's a depressing question, Merritt. When Francisco Lindor leaves after the 2021 season, first of all, is he going to leave? And do the Indians have, like, any shot at bringing him back? He's going to make so much money.
Oh, yeah. I think they have a shot. I mean, it involves a lot of money. But
that it does.
I mean, just to be straight up. But, the Yankees don't need him because they have a good shortstop in their own right. The Dodgers have a good one as well. I like the idea of him being on the Angels if they can hold on to Mike Trout, too. Okay. Yeah, so I go with Angels. I'm okay with that because they have halos, so that's good.
Sure, they are the halos. That's a good one. Yeah, I think they're really going to regret not being able to sign him to that 7-year, $100 million contract. Imagine how much of a deal that would be now if you got that. Because back then, like, he didn't even have his almost 8 WAR seasons, so he was pretty good, but he wasn't as good as he was last year. But there's
the guy bet on himself and he won, man. He's good for him. I'm very impressed.
I still wonder if somehow it's what's his name? Brady Chernoff spoiling it, like, got under somebody's skin that it leaked out and that's why he didn't sign it.
God damn you, Brady.
Because that was like one of the best spring training things that ever happened, but it was also might have been terrible. I don't know if it's a coincidence, but
yes. No, I enjoyed that a lot. Stupid Brady Chernoff.
Yeah. So, Mary, anything? Anything exciting coming up?
Is this the year I buy my pillow? I think it was a very good question.
That is. I think at one point I photoshopped a picture of Francisco Lindor on one. So if that comes out, I'm going to buy it.
Okay. Although the answer is don't. They aren't worth a shit. So I don't know.
Do you have a my pillow, Merritt? Is that what we're
getting? I don't know. There's one response to that question on Twitter. Oh. So.
I am going to buy, I think I'm going to rebuy like the physical version of RBI Baseball 18 just because there's Lindor on the cover. Is that sad? Yeah, right. Like, when it gets really cheap, I'm going to buy it? That's pathetic,
I was going to buy a copy of FIFA 17, because that has... let's see who's on the cover of that one. That has... Who is that dude? Marco Reyes.
Wait, so why were you going to buy that?
Dortmund. Because I like to buy old sports video games, because I don't play online.
Is that just a thing?
Yeah.
No, then you need to buy, like, Madden 2005. That was the last good Madden. And there's no good baseball game, so who cares?
The last good Madden was 2007 because there were a couple of reasons why. It's the last Jamarcus Russell is in it. It's the last one with
I look at that's the lead. That's the last good like All-Star mode, right?
It was the last one with Michael Vick before the whole dogfighting thing. It was the last one. It was after Brett Favre retired briefly. I don't remember the one when he was on the Jets.
Is that the one with Vince Young on the cover? That's peak cover athlete.
I think it was, yes. Because I owned that one for like years.
That's like the last one that had a really good superstar mode.
Is it bad now? Oh, that one had Sean Alexander on the cover.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. 2008 was Vince Young. But, like, superstar mode then, like, you could go behind the player and go to training and stuff. I think it sucks now. Like, it's not that same camera anymore.
You know what I really liked was superstar mode in NCAA games, because you started in your, like, high school football championship game was the first game you played, and that was how you were scouted for recruitment.
Well, that's, and then couldn't you transfer that over to, like,
Yes.
Yeah, you could transfer it to Madden.
Yeah, you could play and you play through your whole thing, and then you could transfer to Madden. You could just enter the league as, like, a 99 across the board. A 99, 7'6" quarterback who also plays linebacker.
Anyway, I'm going to cut all this out, so I'm going to say bye real quick, and then we'll keep talking about it. So bye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Anyway, Mary. So the good other good one was the first one I played was Madden 2000, I think.